بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأتياه فقولا إنا رسول رب العالمين أن أرسل معنا بني إسرائيل إلى آخر الآية وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا دار من لا دار له ومال من لا مال له ولهما يجمعان من لا أكل له أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Honorable Ulama, respected Huffaz, brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We commence with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher and nourisher. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, mentor, and our guide, Nabi Pak Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although the month of Muharram is a sanctified month as a whole, the 10th day is the most sacred amongst all its days. This day, which is termed as Ashura, and according to the companion Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, he found that the Jews of Medina used to fast on the 10th day of Muharram. Upon inquiry from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to the reason for their fasting on this day, they replied that it was on this day on which Nabi Musa alayhi salam and his followers crossed the Red Sea miraculously, and that Fir'aun was drowned in the same waters, in the very waters of the Red Sea. On hearing this answer from the Jews, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we are more closely related to Musa alayhi salam than you, and then he directed the Muslims to fast as well on this day. Of course, we have heard the ahadith pertaining to the method of fasting on this day, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised that oppose the Jews, oppose the mushrikeen, fast the day before or fast the day after, 9 or 10, 10th or 11th. Nevertheless, respected elders and friends, the life of Musa alayhi salam and his struggle against the tyranny of Fir'aun and the continuous rebellion against or amongst his people provide innumerable lessons for us. We know the Banu Israel was subjugated by Fir'aun, as well as the people of Egypt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, sent Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun, فَأْتِيَاهُ فَقُولَا إِنَّا رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that He sent these noble leaders, these noble anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and He told them, go unto Fir'aun and tell him that inna rasul rabbil alameen, that verily we have been sent as messengers from Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And arsil ma'ana bani Israel, that you send with us the Banu Israel, whom you are subjugating, whom you are treating as mere slaves on the face of this earth. And do not afflict punishment on them. So these two noble anbiya, their mission was to invite towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to challenge the claim that was made by Fir'aun that ana rabbukum al-a'la, that I am the Lord, I am the God, I am the Almighty. And secondly, they were sent to liberate the Banu Israel, they were sent to liberate the people of Egypt from the slavery of Fir'aun. Together with this, Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him two miracles to combat the sorcery of the magicians that were in the court of Musa alayhi salam. Sorcery and magic that was used to instill fear in the people. that was used to extract obedience to Firaun in the people. And respected elders and friends, the most important was that it was used to ensure that a permanent spell of subjugation was cast over the people of Egypt. So nobody would ever question again with regard to whether Firaun was Lord or whether he was not Lord. So this magic and the sorcery was used by Firaun to subjugate the people according to his whims and desires. Nevertheless, as I have mentioned, that there are innumerable lessons for us to learn. Inshallah, we will not take much of your time. We will just deduce three lessons and try to bring them that was happening in the time of Firaun and see exactly what is happening today. The response of Firaun to Musa and Harun was as follows. He said, "Lasahirun alim." When they invited him towards the oneness of Allah and when they seen the manifestation, when they seen the manifestation of the miracles of Musa alayhi salam, Firaun said, "Lasahirun alim." These are well-versed sorcerers. These are well-versed magicians. Now, respected elders and friends, he was trying to say that there is absolutely nothing divine about his mission. We do not believe in divinity, nor do we believe in the unseen, nor do we subscribe to the notion of prophethood, or nor do we subscribe to divine revelation. At the very best, Firaun said that this person who is trying to free the Banu Israel, basically he is a very skilled sorcerer, as well as he is a magician par excellence. He forgot that the very same magicians that he was using to subjugate the people, he turned it to Musa alayhi salam and said, "No, but you have cast a spell over my people." Now friends, keeping that in mind, let us come to today's times. This is the very same challenge that we are facing today in the form of humanism. Now, what is humanism? Humanism is a belief. It is an ism. It is a belief that law, that tradition, culture, divine revelation, etc., in whichever aspect it may come, be it political, be it social, be it economical, it must be weighed and tested against human experience. In other words, there are no absolute truths. In other words, there is no place for religion. Whatever is being told to you, it must be tested against human experiences. And the same way that Musa alayhi salam, the same way that Firaun had said that these are well-versed sorcerers, this was the same thing that was mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is exactly the same thing that we are facing today. The second thing he mentioned, he said, "Yuridu ay yukhrijakum min ardikum." That Musa's plan is to drive you out of your land. Religion was interpreted as a threat to those who were yielding power. Religion was interpreted as a threat to those who were yielding power. Thus what they did is they politicized the deen and then they went on to challenge the mission of Musa alayhi salam. If you look at the war on terror today, if you study the war on terror, it is a crusade against Islam. It is about securing political hegemony over the world through the control of natural resources through illegitimate invasions around the world. The third thing that he mentioned, he said, "Inna hadha la makrum makartumu." He said, "This is surely a plan that you have hatched." This is a plan, telling Musa and Harun that this is a plan that you have hatched. In other words, when the most skilled magicians assembled to challenge the sorcery of Firaun and his magicians, they were overpowered. And when these magicians were overpowered, they immediately accepted the deen of Musa alayhi salam. So what did Firaun tell them? Firaun said, "This is a plan that you have hatched." So he said, I will cut off your hands and I will cut off your legs and I will subjugate you to such harsh torture which you have never experienced before. So respected elders and friends, in other words, what he did was, He threatened them. He said, if you do not abide by my rules, you face the consequences. So today we find Guantanamo Bay, or be it the Abu Ghraib prison, these seem to be the same chip of the old block of torture in the name of political stability. So the same principle that Fir'aun used to threaten his people when it came to deen, to threaten his people when it came to religion, we find that Muslims are facing the very same today. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructs Musa alayhi salam and Harun to leave Egypt. On the way, when they leave, approximately 600,000 people from the Banu Israel leave in the darkness of the night. When Fir'aun comes to hear about this, he pursues them with an army of 700,000 people. He pursues them, and when the people of Musa see the advancing army behind them, and they see the sea in front of them, what do they say? They say, we are doomed. We are doomed. You have an army of 700,000 people before you. You have the sea in front of you. Of course, they had Anbiya in their presence. They had the Nabiyeen in their presence. The likes of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. Immediately, they gave them the tasalli, that don't worry, Allah is with us. Allah's power, Allah's might, Allah's help will definitely be with us. And Musa alayhi salam struck his stick into the sea, and it split into open parts. It split into 12 parts, each tribe traversing on the path of his own. And there were waters on each side, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for these 12 tribes to pass through these 12 passages. Fir'aun and his army did likewise, and suddenly the huge amount of water closed on them, and they all drowned. Now, respected elders and brothers, this 10th of Muharram, or this Ashura, is a reminder that although the Ummah currently seems to be between the sea and between the advancing army of the Fir'aun of the times, overwhelmed, perhaps some may feel doomed. Some may feel that we are heading for humiliation, destruction. Respected elders and friends, we can prevail. We can prevail. As an ummah, we can be victorious. But however, there are certain conditions to this. If we are prepared to migrate from the darkness of vice and sin, if we are prepared to migrate from the darkness of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are prepared to submit to the directives of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if we are prepared to strive with the conviction that Allah is on our side, then respected elders and friends, just as Allah had given the Banu Israel victory over Fir'aun, Allah will most certainly grant us victory as well. Ashura calls for commitment. It calls for conviction. It calls for struggle. No matter how difficult the challenges may be, whether it be on a personal level or whether it be on a collective level, the help of Allah is at hand. But His help and His guidance is subject to mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah says, those who strive in our cause, we will certainly guide them to the path. So everything that we will have to do from now on, and this is the commitment that we need to make in our lives, that whatever I will do for my deen, it will definitely require struggle. It will definitely require conviction. It will definitely require commitment. That commitment every individual has to give. And the more we are committed to the directives of our deen, the more we are committed to the directives of the commands of Allah and His Rasul, the greater and the sooner will our victory be. Respected elders and friends, together with that, we find also that generally when it comes to the end of the year and when it comes to a new year, people celebrate in different ways. They celebrate with joy, some celebrate with hilarity, others celebrate through merrymaking, Others celebrate by bursting fireworks and crackers. In striking contrast, a Muslim ought to begin his new year with solemn dignity and reflect on the past year with a repentant heart. With a repentant heart, that wherever perhaps he had made a mistake or he had erred in his life towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is indeed the time for him to make amends. Because respected elders and friends, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu has mentioned a beautiful hadith in which he says that four qualities are a sign of great misfortune in a person. Four qualities are a sign of great misfortune in a person. Eyes that do not shed tears out of the fear of Allah. A heart that is not softened by the thought of the year after. Endless hopes about the distant future and insatiable greed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these four qualities. In conclusion, both this world and the year after have loyal adherents. Both this world and the year after have loyal sons. Try if you can, respected elders and friends, avoid being the son and the adherent of this world. This life of this world is a life of accumulating good deeds where there will be no accountability. Tomorrow, the life of the year after will be the life of accountability where there will be no occasion for acquiring good deeds. Hence, we need to understand that this is the time that we have. As the poet has so beautifully mentioned, he said, take heed, in the ticking of the clock there is a warning. In the ticking of the clock there is a warning. Another hour of your life is gone. Will you survive the next hour? Will you survive the next hour? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to put into practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibati al-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i wa al-mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la usi thanan alayka antaka ma athnayta ala nafsik. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fi al-akhirati hasanah wa kina azab al-nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم ربنا ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا. اللهم انا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم انا نسالك من كل خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وانت المستعان عليك البلاغ. لا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.